Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It'll be a lot of fun. Let's do it live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We've been counting down the days before we could jump on the plane, get down to Nashville, Tennessee, which is where we're hanging out now. And tomorrow, we're in the middle of the NFL experience, right I'd say about 100 yards or so from where the Titans play, Nissan Stadium. And this is going to be a lot of fun. Teek, what's happening, buddy? How you doing
today? It's already
today?
Been a lot of fun. A bunch of kids running around on the fields out there. I guess that's their play 60. No, it's a flag football, I think. I don't know if it's play 60 or flag football, but a lot of kids are getting a ton of interaction. I was signing autographs for about an hour over there getting ready. Not getting ready for the show, but getting ready for the draft experience. But it's fun down here. And luckily for us, the rain is holding off. It's supposed to rain a little bit this afternoon, but right now we're sitting pretty.
Well, let's be honest. Even if it does rain, we're okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It's everybody else. We have a tent over our head. Although the way the wind is blowing, it's a little sideways. We could get a little dusting. But, hey, listen, it's football, so sometimes you have to deal with the elements. And obviously we will be, you know, very draft heavy. But we got to start with the Warriors. We have to. Can you explain to me, because I don't have the answer yet, and I'm going to tell you why I think the Warrior fans should be really worried. Not that they just lost and not that they actually give the Rockets a little more of a chance to rest up. Although those things certainly apply. What I think would be most disconcerting to me, if I'm a Warriors fan, is they didn't play terribly.
No,
like
right.
you look at the stats, and I know that it's not always about the stats, but the Warriors only had 8 turnovers, which is terrific. I'm sure below their season average.
Yep.
They shot 91% from the stripe, 45% overall, 30, just about 40% from downtown. And they were only out-rebounded by 3.
Yes.
So it's not like they had this deplorably out-of-character bad game where you could say, all right, you know what? We messed up. We'll dial it back up, and we'll smoke the Clippers Friday night at the Staples Center. Warriors played okay, and they still lost at home.
Look, I think they still smoked the Clippers at the Staples Center coming to Game 7. But here's the issue, BT, and it's happened in Game 2. That the Clippers stole as well. Patrick Beverley was not as much of a nuisance, and we talked about that ad nauseum, about how he disrupted Kevin Durant, but he was effective, and he was emotional, and that emotion lifted his team. But the bigger issue, BT, is that the Warriors bench, and we talked about this when Boogie went down,
Boogie.
Right? How were the Warriors going to respond? A bench play. How are their bench play going to respond? It compared to the Clippers, it was hideous. The same thing happened. As we remember back in Game 2, Lou Williams goes off for 36. They get outscored by like 30 on the bench, and the same thing happened last night. And the vulnerability for the Golden State Warriors is not their stars. Though Kevin Durant's going to be Kevin Durant. He scored 45. Steph's going to be Steph. Clay's going to be Clay. Draymond even tried to be, you know, old Draymond with his attitude and stepping over people. But the bench of this Golden State Warriors team is so vulnerable right now that if you have good players like the Clippers do that come off the bench, Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, who can drop 60 points on you just like that, you can beat them. And I don't know if the Rockets have that per se.
You mean the Clippers?
The Rockets have that per se should the Clippers should the Warriors get through, which I think they do.
Mm-hmm.
I think they rebound from this, but their bench is what scares the hell out of me if I'm a Golden State Warriors fan.
Listen, it's a fair point. I mean 40%, pardon me, the starting five, even though you mentioned Draymond was trying to get back to his old grit, get back to his old bite, which you got to appreciate. Draymond still played almost 40 minutes and had 7 points.
Yeah.
You know, Andrew Bogut, obviously, he's a far...
He's not a scorer.
No, he's a completely different skill set than Boogie. So, you know, that taps into just a lack of answers. And, you know, I'll tell you this. I was thinking about this earlier today. Like, imagine if the Clippers win the series. And I'm with you. I think the Warriors fine. Although I took the 14.5 points last night, and I was feeling pretty good about it. And I won again. I'm red hot, man. I'm not going to bury the lead. I am just destroying the spreads these days. Red hot. But I do think I'm going to take the Warriors Friday night. But I'm looking at this, and I'm saying, okay, Let's see. Imagine if the Clippers win and then Kevin Durant, as per Stephen A.'s report, that there's a 50% chance or greater.
Then he goes to,
Clippers. No. Just like when he was with the Oklahoma City Thunder, he went to the Warriors. Imagine if he just spends the rest of his career bouncing around and joining the team that bounces him from the playoffs.
I think on principle alone, he can't go to the Clippers.
That's kind of why I'm hoping for the Clippers to win. I'm a little nervous about the Clippers game. It's getting in the way of my Knicks.
Look, he's going to the Knicks. He's not going to the Clippers. But Stephen A. thinks that he is a small chance. He said a greater than 50% chance, which means like 51%. So 49% he's going to the New York Knicks. Don't get worked up. You're not losing.
No. I like the 51% odd better than 49.
Really?
I know it's very 50. Think about this. If there's a greater than 50% chance he's going to go to the Clippers, that means there's a sub 50% chance he's going to go to the Knicks.
So now let's take a pause for a second.
I'm out.
The reason. No, I get a 30. No, this is a full one.
This
is a full timeout.
All right, we'll keep it here.
The reason.
Mike Breen, Van Gundy.
Yes, the reason that he would go to the Clippers would be what?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
See, the reason.
Maybe to pair up with Kawhi. Maybe Kawhi doesn't want to go to New York. I don't know.
He's got the championships. He's got the finals MVPs. The reason for him to go to New York, and we've talked about this a million times, BT, it's your narrative, for Christ's sakes,
right? Reignite a dormant, proud franchise.
And if he goes there, he doesn't even have to win a championship. But if he gets relevant in the Eastern Conference, and hell, if he gets to a championship and maybe even wins one, he's a legend, right?
No doubt.
The narrative to go to New York makes sense. Tell me the narrative to go to the Clippers.
I'll give you two quick ones.
It doesn't fit in my mind.
I hear you, and I still think he's going to be a Knick, but I'll give you two quick ones. Number one, he's closer to Silicon Valley, and he's got a lot of business out there right now. Number two, it's just an easier lifestyle. I mean, the weather's better. It's just an easier – listen,
the media's easier.
Let me tell you, after TV last night, I told you this off air. This is how hard New York is, and this is the one thing – that you have to realize, like...
And this is a nonsense thing, but it matters.
It does matter. It's going to seem so
trivial. It doesn't
affect
your job, but it affects your life.
It affects your life. So you get off TV last night with Tops. We shoot, you go live from 9 to noon, 9 to midnight, 3 hours. And I live 19 miles outside of the city. If you're familiar with Manhattan and you want to go to New Jersey, you either take the Holland Tunnel or you take the Lincoln Tunnel.
Or the
George Washington Bridge, sure, but that's further up north. Yeah. So... You know, a lot of the cheapos kind of go that way if you can. If it saves me 8 minutes, I'll pay 8 extra bucks. I don't give a rat's behind. I got to get home. So anyway, I get up the air. The car's waiting for me. Takes me to my car because I don't want to leave my car in Manhattan since I'm going to be in Nashville, which is where we are now, in case Jen needs it. You know, Gigi is over, helping with the kids if they need an extra car. Long story short, I get in my car. It's like 12:19. I'm like, all right, this isn't that bad. I have the car coming this morning from Westwood One to take me to the airport at 6:15. And I'm thinking, well, if I get home, Jen, of course, is going to make me shower. This is her pet peeve. No matter if I stepped out of the house for an hour, I got to shower.
You're nasty, bro.
No, but I mean, it drives me nuts, but I've gotten used to it. So I know that this is going to be a long night. Of course, as soon as I get to the Holland Tunnel, it's on lockdown. I made the most vicious, illegal U-turn. I don't even know what. I basically knocked over a barrier. I said, I'm getting out of here.
You're lucky the police were there. Nah, you're always there.
Dude, if I did, I had the police card from my dad, and I was willing to take a chance. Whatever. Got down to the Lincoln Tunnel. Finally got home. It was like 2:01, and then I just didn't sleep much. But as I'm driving home, I got to listen to the Clippers and the Warriors. And it was really cool. It was on NBA Channel 86, on Sirius NBA. And they had the local feed, the Warriors, 95.7 The Game, my old station. And I was thinking about this as well. What the hell will the Warriors be next year without Kevin Durant?
Yeah, you're right.
That's a sobering thought.
No,
it's over.
Oh, I think you're right. It is over. Because Kevin Durant scored 45 last night. And as much as the offense can find ways to put – you know, points on the board for the Golden State Warriors. If KD's not there, then Steph shoots more. Maybe Klay becomes more effective. Who knows? Maybe they find another scorer. Not a superstar, but another scorer. But the difference is the defense, BT. And Steve Kerr mentioned this. They just didn't have it defensively. And one of the big, I think, points that Kevin Durant has brought is a presence on the defensive side, whether it's his length. He actually does give a ton of effort on the defensive side, so it's amazing that he can score as effectively as he does and efficiently as he does when he works so hard on the defensive side as well. But, I mean, if they lose him on that side,
yep.
I mean, they gave up 129 points. They scored, what, 71 at the half?
And they gave up 135 in game two.
Exactly.
I mean, that's
right?
Deplorably bad for a team that's supposed to win a championship.
Well, and by the BT, that was part of the conversation with the Golden State Warriors for the entirety of their run. Yeah, they can score a ton of points. They can score 140 on you if they have a great day. But they're also going to lock you down. They're not locking people down anymore, and that points to effort. That's the boredom side of it you talk about, or the lackadaisical side that you talk about with this Golden State Warriors team that keeps creeping itself into their conversations. The Clippers have grit, man. They don't have the talent that the Warriors do. They don't have the talent that really anyone in the Western Conference does right now that's still playing. But they have grit, and they fight through adversity. I mean, they got destroyed at home. Right by the Golden State Warriors as they went up 3-1, and they came back on the road and played, I mean, as good a game as you could have imagined. And
I agree.
I mean,
a lot of character.
I give them
a ton
of credit.
Yep.
I don't think they're going to still win this series, but I think very differently of them now than I did throughout the regular season.
It's hard not to. You know, it's really hard not to. And there were a couple of teams throughout the NBA season for different reasons. That we, I don't want to say dismissed, but we kind of marginalized.
Yeah, and they were one.
The Clippers were one. The Pacers were another team. Pacers obviously got swept. They didn't play well against Boston. But without Oladipo, not a surprise. But to the point where we thought the Pacers wouldn't even be a playoff team when it was all said and done. You and I shared that thought. And really, you know, when think about the early formations of the playoff seeding race in the Western Conference. You and I both gravitated to the Sacramento Kings.
That's right.
More than the Clippers.
That's right.
You know, so it's an incredible testament to their focus, to their character, to their love of the game. Doc Rivers is doing a good – listen, we've been on Doc for a while for a couple of recent underachievements. You got to file this one in the incredibly impressive overachievement. And I agree. I do think the Warriors win game six. But the fact that they're struggling and the fact that they knew that the Rockets handled business and the Rockets get to chill – and the Rockets get to rest up. If the Warriors win Friday, I believe game one is Sunday.
Yeah.
Again, and if they lose Friday,
it's a quick
game
turnaround.
Seven is Sunday.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround.
So, I mean, advantage lost completely.
Absolutely.
There.
Here's the aura of the Golden State Warriors is gone as well. We always used to talk about the third quarter, right? The third quarter comes, you're going to get blitzed and blown out by 15 points minimum in the third quarter by the Golden State Warriors.
Oh,
that didn't happen in this game. And then also, they actually lost the quarter by 2 points to the Clippers,
33 to 31,
exactly, BT. But more importantly, is this game was winding down, and the Golden State Warriors had to fight their way back. I mean, the Warriors were fighting their way back. They fight their way back. They get up 118-117 with a minute and 10 seconds or a minute and 20 seconds, whatever it was, left in the game. In my mind, I'm saying, all right, game over, right? They got this one. They figured it out, right? They withstood the energy, the grit of the Clippers. It's over.
Yeah.
Clippers turn right around and laid it down on them. I mean,
it's crazy.
I give them a ton of credit, but I also have a lot of concerns about the Golden State Warriors because what used to work for them doesn't work anymore.
I'm with you. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show. We are on the road down here in Nashville, Tennessee, obviously right outside of Nissan Stadium. We'll do, I'd say, you know, 80% draft today. Obviously, the Warriors losing in a closeout game constitutes a big story. But, of course, you know, we're still waiting for that first ripple in terms of it's just a matter of time, whether it's JLC, whether it's Schefter, whether it's Rappaport. Somebody's going to drop a tweet out there that's going to change the entire direction of our show.
It's weird being here.
You know, I'm kind of waiting for it. Let's
but
go.
But it doesn't feel like the draft is getting ready to happen.
Oh, I feel like it.
Because of the people, and it does. But I don't know. I feel like I'm used to being in a studio and not being here. So it's just unique to feel like in 3 hours or whatever it is, four hours, the draft is going to start. Roger Goodell is going to pop up. We'll be doing a local show at that point on WFAN, but he's going to pop up on this screen in front of us and with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Wait, we have a trade.
No, we're not getting a trade. I don't know. He's blowing my eardrums over here. But it's going to happen in like 4 hours.
Yep.
It doesn't feel like it for some reason.
You know what I would
me.
Do? If I'm drafted by, you know, if I go – we always laugh about like the fake bro hugs, you know, like Goodell gives you this warm embrace, and then,
oh, that drives me crazy.
I hear
that, right?
You know what I would do if I'm a player? I'd slip him $30,000. Hey, first time I'm fine. Just don't even call me. Just take it. Just
he doesn't need it. He makes $40 million a year.
No, not. I'm not that I'm paying him off. I'm saying You're going to find me at some point. Here's me preemptively paying the fine.
Which is what drives me crazy that these guys all dap him up and give him bro hugs like they love him. Trust me, he's not going to love you when you're smoking weed.
Although that started to change, as we know. So listen, this is going to be a lot of fun here. Is there a trade? I don't know. We'll certainly follow it. All sorts of great defensive prospects. The quarterbacks are in play. Wide receivers kind of thin here. Offensive lineman doesn't really get you jacked up for the draft. I understand that. But there's at least three, maybe four kids who should go in the first round. And this is going to be terrific. 1-855-212-4227. So we're down in Nashville. Tiki and Tierney on an outstanding Thursday. First round of the draft tonight. CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Yep, packed up the old Tiki and Tierney Express, headed down to Nashville, Tennessee. We're here tomorrow as well. It's the NFL Experience, downtown Nashville, right near Nissan Stadium. 100 yards, 200 yards, whatever it is, Fan Fest going on. It is a terrific experience. The energy and all the different fan bases is well represented. Really, you know what's funny? I got to tell you this, too, before we get to something that happened between the Lakers are a complete disaster.
Oh, God.
So I'm walking around, and there's like three Jaguar fans. They probably have among the least amount of representation from what I've seen so far.
Maybe.
Here, in terms of jerseys, at least visible stuff, right? So there's three Jaguars, and they're probably like 17 to 21, 18 to 22 age range. Okay. Three boys, right? Three young men. And there's another young guy. He's probably about the same age, and he's wearing a Browns jersey. And they're just destroying him. They're like, yo, did you just get that? Did they just get that on Amazon? They just overnight that? It's an Odell. You know, how long have you been a Browns fan? And it was starting to get a little tense. I'm like, am I going to bust out the phone or roll something? It's like, because then the Browns
fan. You got to break it up. Don't roll on
I'm
it.
I'm not
post
breaking
it.
Up anything at my age unless it involves my family or you or so like a friend.
Yeah, I hear you.
Breaking up anything. Or an old woman. Then I would certainly help that. Or an old man, too. Or a kid. So I guess it's extended well beyond just my family.
Everybody.
But I really don't care about three Jaguar fans, nor do I care about one Brown fan who probably just became a Brown
fan. Nouveau Brown fan.
There are a
Maybe
lot
he just
of,
likes Odell.
Listen, I don't doubt that, but that bothers me. Don't let me, please, I can't launch into that kind of a
Yeah, the
a
resident
tirade today.
Fan on the set.
I can't stand that. You're a fan of a team. You know where I stand on that. The Lakers have a lot of fans, although they may have just lost one, and he may just be the biggest icon in the history of the state of California.
This is an unbelievable story.
This is incredible.
It almost doesn't make any sense that this could actually happen in 2019.
Let's unpack it. Here's what went down. So on Colin Cowherd's show yesterday, buddy Rick Bucher, former partner. We have Rick on the show all the time. Smart guy, great writer, great, well-sourced. And Rick was telling Colin a story that, you know, he had intel where, in essence, here's a short version, Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, it was company protocol to always blind CC Magic Johnson. This is when Magic was still there, obviously. Anytime something was, for lack of a better description, going down or possibly going down within the realm of the Lakers. Then they were having a private conversation, and based on the email protocol that was set up in advance, I'm sure by IT, they didn't disassemble that. So Magic Johnson, this is unbelievable. Magic Johnson's getting blind CC'd as they're talking smack about Magic Johnson.
Okay. It doesn't make any sense given today's technology, right? So I have a buddy who is obsessed with being tracked, or he thinks he's being tracked.
By whom?
By aliens, by
the government,
everyone,
by, okay.
By everyone. He's like, you know, the CIA has a contract with some, I don't know, Snapchat or whatever it may be, and all of a sudden we're Alexa,
okay.
And now Alexa's everywhere in everybody's home.
Which, by the way, I don't really disagree with that.
I don't disagree.
I unplug
either.
Those things. I used
Facebook
to love them.
Has now bought Snapchat and what's not Snapchat, Instagram and WhatsApp, and we know what Facebook does with Cambridge Analytica. So. Are we sure about that?
I don't think your buddy's wrong necessarily.
Exactly. Anybody can hack into your emails. Yeah. It's ridiculous. So he's put me on all these different like email things, like Proton Mail. Get on that. Get on Telegram because that one can't be. So he's like,
sounds very arduous.
So he's talking about all these things, like how you can prevent yourself from being tracked or from making mistakes like this. And even if you do make a mistake like this, you can delete it.
Boy, all this just because your buddy wants to visit a porn site every
Maybe.
Now and
hey,
again,
whatever.
Huh?
He's single. He can do whatever he wants, man. He's living the life, bro. He's living a life. But here's the thing. We all know this, right? We know that these things happen. We know that people hack into your emails. We know that there's ways for people to see things that you don't want to be seen. And so if you're Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, why not walk down the damn hall and have this conversation face-to-face? Why put it on email? It makes no sense to me that they would do this, especially given that that email is always trackable. Even if Magic hadn't seen it, somebody was going to see it, right? Whether it was in the IT department or wherever, and they maybe love Magic Johnson because Magic Johnson's a Lakers icon. He's been there, a part of the organization for decades now. And Jeannie and Rob, who's basically off the street as an agent for somewhere, doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Yep. Are talking?
It's Kobe's buddy, though.
True, you but know, still,
so
but
I
still,
got you. He's
but
not
still,
Magic
talking trash about the icon. You don't think someone's going to tell Magic about this?
I mean. They didn't. They would have.
Don't believe that your the message here is don't believe your emails are private. Period. Especially if you blind CC a guy.
And the other message is, and the other message, which I agree with, the other message is, if you willingly go and play for the Lakers, you're out of your mind. Because if this doesn't further illuminate the dysfunction, at the highest level of the Lakers, and you know what, I've got to come clean. And if you listen to the show long enough, you know that we have no problem doing this when we're wrong. And based on the events and based on the intel that we received, based on Rick Bucher's excellent reporting, I think I might owe Irvin Magic Johnson an apology because I crushed Magic.
I mean, look.
I crushed him. And now
I
crushed him for the way he resigned.
So back up.
The way he resigned.
How he resigned.
Not telling Jeannie Buss and holding a press conference the night of the final game. You know, and I was just so perplexed. I'm like, this ultimate champion, this ultimate gamer, this individual who has always embraced competition on every aspect of his life, he's just going to bow out the side door like that? I crushed him.
Yeah, but you remember we said.
Now I know why.
Remember we said there might be something else. There's got to be something else because it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Like Magic, I mean, he was getting criticized for the job that he was doing. A lot by us.
And rightfully so.
And rightfully
that's a different
so.
Conversation.
But that's part of the process. It's his first time as a president of the basketball operations in the Laker. I mean, it was impossible for him to walk in there and just hit home runs.
But I don't think he worked hard. Now I'm going to I
agree.
Think he was a hard worker.
I agree, but still, you're not walking in hitting home runs if you don't know what you're doing, especially if it's outside your realm of expertise. Mm-hmm. So, you could forgive him, take the criticism, and knowing Magic would work harder at it. Right, but all of a sudden he just up and pieces out, and he's like happy about it too.
Yeah,
it was weird.
Yeah.
Like it was almost like there was a weight lifted off his shoulders, and you know, a burden that he wasn't telling us about. And now we know what the burden was. He was disappointing, and I don't know what the content of these emails were, but apparently it was in very disparaging terms, disappointing Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss.
I mean, Rob Palenka's got some set on him, huh?
Yeah,
is Rob Pelinka kidding me?
No, he thinks he. I mean
Rob Pelinka. I mean, wow. All right, so here's the tweet. Magic put this out a couple hours ago. The truth will always come to light. And a big, happy face, smiling, with rosy red cheeks to really
do you think
illustrate
that mean, do you
just
think
how happy
that means
he
he's disputing Buick's report?
No,
or co-signing.
He's co-signing.
Yeah.
By the way, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the one who told Bucher. Because think about this. It makes Magic look even classier.
Yeah, you're right.
Like if Magic came out and said, not that he would say it like this, but just for lack of, you know, just to condense it. Screw Rob Pelinka, all the Lakers, that they're you know, if he can funnel this up the flagpole and have Rick Bucher, I don't know that I'm absolutely right on this, but it makes sense. Maybe one of his confidants did it. If you funnel this to Buick and then Buick puts it out there on Colin's show and then the rest of us disseminate this, it makes Magic look even better rather than Magic coming out and saying it and like in an aggressive gripe kind of
yeah,
way.
But
smart move.
Yeah, it feels like it's petty. Feels like it's high schoolish if it comes out that way. Now, it's interesting. Because of what's happening in the Staples Center right now. The co-tenants of the Staples Center, the L.A. Clippers, are forcing the Golden State Warriors to a Game 6, and the Lakers are sitting in dysfunction. After hiring Magic, Rob, we didn't know really, but whatever. It seemed like a decent move. Jeannie Buss taking over the whole organization, bringing in LeBron James. It's, okay, the Lakers are finally going to become the Lakers, and the Clippers are going to fall back to their space as secondary citizens in the Staples Center. But here we are. It's not changed. The Clippers are still riding high out in L.A., and the Lakers are descending into further and further dysfunction.
They're a mess, Teak. 1-855-212-4227. Teak and Tierney Show. We're live in Nashville, Tennessee. Obviously, the draft a couple hours away, and we are here today. We are here tomorrow. Pretty awesome stuff. We'll get to this coming up next. Think about this. With all the dysfunction Teak and I just described, if the Lakers whiff and they don't get a top free agent, does this kind of take LeBron off the hook? Think about that. We'll hit it after Axe Update. He's back in New York, coming at you right now.
We're live here in Nashville. NFL Draft presented by the Wrangler Performance Series. Wrangler Performance Series, a collection of jeans and pants featuring a comfort flex waistband and denim that flexes for comfort. Wrangler Performance Series. Try out a pair today. So, raindrops are coming down. People don't care. It's what happens when you walk around and do a little day drinking. Get ready to watch your team draft somebody.
I'm somewhat jealous, actually.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And hopefully for all the bevy of fans out here, although not every fan base can be happy because just the way the draft goes, there will be busts and there will be injuries and there will be things that just transpire over the course of one's career that will diffuse the enthusiasm that many will all project tonight for the most part. But it's going to be a lot of fun. And no news yet. You know, it looks like Murray's still going to go to the Cardinals. Some whispers. I know the Vegas odds have changed. You and I talked about that yesterday. But it looks like Kyler still goes first. And we'll see what happens with Haskins, the D lineman. Obviously, Teague and I will pretty much go draft the rest of the way. But we got to get back to Magic, all right? And by an extension, the Lakers, and certainly by extension there, LeBron. It is my opinion that this is now the best possible situation that LeBron James could have hoped for. Because if this didn't happen, and Magic were still running the show, and the end of the season, all right, you know, it is what it is. Everything that we talked about the entire season.
Yep.
But nothing new, you know, nothing divisive, nothing wacky. And then Kawhi goes elsewhere, Durant goes elsewhere, Kemba Walker doesn't go there. None of the great, you know, not that Kemba's in that category, but, you know, all the top free agents don't go to the Lakers. We're going to be ripping LeBron. You know, like, oh, nobody wants to play LeBron, as we've kind of surmised already. Now the fact that Magic Johnson was dissed by Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka on a series of emails, LeBron's people can spit it and say, hey, listen, so-and-so was interested, but it's too much dysfunction here for the Lakers. Nobody wanted to commit. Not LeBron's fault.
But LeBron doesn't want to hear that. LeBron doesn't want to being, I don't know, irrelevancy for the next 3 years of his career, or at least 2 years of his career with the L.A. Lakers, a franchise that he's trying to, one, resurge, but also, you know, use as a platform to do all these other things that he's doing out there. He's already doing these projects, but he's got to stay relevant. He's got to stay the star. He's got to stay the best player in basketball on the planet. And right now, I don't see it happening. Let me ask you this question, BT.
Mm-hmm.
Think about all of the free agents that are coming available this offseason.
Okay.
Do you honestly see any of them going to the Los Angeles Lakers?
Yes.
Who?
Yes. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a description, then maybe even a name.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be somebody who believes they're an A-level player, but we all know is not. That person could be Jimmy Butler. That person could be Kemba Walker. And I like both.
Yes.
I do. I think I like Kemba maybe a little bit better at this point. Kemba, the last 2 years, Kemba Walker's, his ascension has been profound. He's becoming a great player. But I don't think Durant's going there. I don't think Kawhi's going there. I don't think Kyrie's going there. So I think once the top stars settle on where they're going to go, I think out of desperation, maybe even Tobias Harris, who I like, but certainly not an A-level player, the Lakers might say, geez, we got to do something for LeBron. All right, let's give them a max contract, even though we know that they're not worth it.
But does it seem like it's going to work? I guess my point is, I think about...
Those are two different questions.
Yeah.
Will they get somebody and will it work?
Yeah. Well, I think...
I would say yes and no.
So I try to think about how this works out, right? Because not that I want to see it work out, but, you know, I have this conversation all the time, BT. I want to see greatness. I want to see LeBron continue his greatness, and I want to see him do it against improbable odds, which are happening right now, impossible odds.
Yeah.
When you look at the Lakers right now, because of all the dysfunction that we've talked about, whether it was the failed Anthony Davis acquisition, whether it was the injuries that actually are becoming much more serious than I think we could have ever anticipated with all these young kids being banged up and out for who knows how long.
Well, especially Ingram with the thoracic.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a little different than a ligament. That's serious.
I don't even know how to describe that, to be honest with you.
I don't know either.
But I know it's not. He's not playing, and I know he's not playing anytime soon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see the path for the Lakers, right? And it sucks because I feel like LeBron's going to end his career being the punchline of the NBA, right? Because LeBron is the man. He's the king. He's self-proclaimed a king. Wherever he goes, you win. In Cleveland, it's going to take us a few years. He does it too. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He's like the man. And he goes to L.A., and we just create this expectation that the Lakers are going to rise. And I kind of want to see it happen. I just don't think it's going to happen.
It's not
going to
happen.
And it doesn't matter who they get star-wise, especially if it's not one of the elite stars, unless it's Kevin Durant or Kawhi.
Yep.
Maybe Kyrie.
Don't forget, they have a draft pick, too. I mean, they could get a little lucky there. Point taken. Now, you want to see LeBron sustain this level far more than I do.
Yes.
I want to see LeBron get humbled. I'm not shy about this.
But don't you think he's already humble?
Well, here's what's happening to him. No, not yet. I mean, just look at him on Instagram. He's anything but
exactly.
humble.
Exactly. For those who don't know what BT's talking about on Instagram yesterday, in real time, by the way, he's watching First Take, I believe, or whatever it is, and they're saying that LeBron needs to fix whatever the relationship that exists with the Los Angeles Lakers. And LeBron, in real time, at the Lakers facility, starts like, Instagramming this video, this is not true, or whatever it is, and I'm here at the facility working out.
Putting time in, LeBron.
Putting my time in.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's actively debating against, or like fighting against the perception that's out there about him. The problem is, it's true, right? Whether he wants to believe it or not, it's true. It's those young kids had issues with LeBron. Whether they said it or not, they did, and it showed itself. LeBron obviously can't see that because he's too alpha to do that, but he's got to acknowledge it before I think he can move forward.
I think he's always heard the noise. Now he's beginning to react to the noise, which is not a good look for LeBron. I want to give you an analogy here. It's a little different. I know you weren't a big bar guy. You got married when you were young.
Yep.
You know, let's face it, when you're single, you go out, you go to the bar, go out with your buddies, hopefully, you know, you try to meet somebody, whatever. And inevitably, there's always that moment, and it happens to all of us, where you look around the bar and you say, man, I'm the OG here. And not in a good way. OG's good. I'm just the old guy here.
Yeah. Like, I hear what you're saying.
You know what I mean? And you look around, you're like, the music they're playing right now that everybody's jamming to, I don't even know who sings
the song. It's about time for me to leave.
Exactly. Check, please. Yeah. And you use the word punchline for LeBron. I don't think he'll ever become a punchline because his gravitas with his peers based on his immortal mark on the game is so profound. And he'll always get that respect.
Not his peers, but we in media.
Well, that's a little different. But I think what's happening is that LeBron is beginning to become the old guy at the bar.
Mm.
And people are starting to say, is this guy going to leave soon or what?
Yeah.
You know, it's time for this guy to go.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's the normal, natural cycle of life. But eventually, LeBron's going to have to find a new bar.
Yeah. I didn't feel like it would happen this quick, though.
No, me neither.
I knew that there would be some growing pains, especially with the age of these guys. But you asked the question, BT, does he get off the hook now? Like the perceptual hook, does LeBron get off of it because of what's happening with Magic and Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss and I guess the injuries as well? You can look at the Lakers and say, God, there's really nothing good going on right now other than LeBron. And it almost elevates him because he actually had a good season, right? It was the other stuff that kind of caused the things to go awry, but LeBron actually starts to look better in context. To your point, I think he does. I mean, this is for the parachute in fan, not the guy who knows it deeply and knows, you know, how he disrupted some of the things that were there. But for the parachute fan, maybe the national fan of the Lakers, LeBron's starting to look good. Right. The only thing he's got to do is not sabotage it by trying to look too good. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. You could take this to the bank. I don't know when it's going to be. I don't know who's going to have it. Probably somebody like Woj. Maybe a show like First Take. There will be a story right at the beginning of free agency, all right, before the first wave, before the elite level, A-level stars sign. And the gist of the story, I don't know who's going to write it, who's going to deliver it, but the gist of the story will be free agents disenchanted with direction of Lakers or seemingly directionless Lakers, and then you'll have the meat of the story, and that's the kind of story that's going to give LeBron an out. Because now, again, he shouldn't say it.
Yeah.
People should say it for him.
You know what also is going to happen, too? He talks about recruiting. Remember, what was it?
Yeah, but he stopped.
I know.
He's got to stop because he knows.
That's what I mean.
Yeah,
so he's talked about it. He used to recruit.
Yep.
Hey, guys, let's get this thing together, man. Let's go do this, right? Let's get on the banana boat, whatever boat we're on. Let's put a team together, a crew together. He can't do it anymore because the guys aren't listening anymore. Mm-hmm. right? And they yeah. want. I had this conversation with a couple of guys at the NCAA tournament. NBA players, obviously they're college focused, but they're NBA. They were NBA players as well. And you start talking about the biggest dog, right? The biggest dog in all of sport, right? For the longest time in basketball, it's been LeBron James, and it's great early because you're like, man, that's LeBron. Right, I want to be a part of that. Right, I want to go play in Miami. I want to go play in Cleveland. I want to be with him. Right, and then after a while, he's so big for so long that you start saying, "I am never going to see sunlight." Right, I'm going to be in this shadow forever. As much as I love LeBron and I love his success, I'm never going to escape his shadow if I go play with him. And it's interesting because you're seeing this manifest itself outside of the court. You see it with
Space Jam.
Space Jam. Nobody wants to do it, right? And it's not because they dislike LeBron, but they know that if they do it, they're sitting in a dark shadow behind him, right? And so it'd be cool, but it's not going to be about you. And I think that's what's happening on court as well, right? It's unfortunate because because of the magnitude that LeBron rose himself to be. But guys want their own, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened with Kyrie, right? Kyrie needed LeBron. It took him a while to admit it. I think once he went to Boston because the grass wasn't greener there for a while. But he needed LeBron. But after he grew and learned from LeBron, he wanted to be on his own. Mm-hmm. It just happens. So stars, I don't see them coming to play with LeBron anymore.
But let me. I want to go back
or wanting to.
I think the ones who wind up playing with LeBron are the ones who are capitalizing on the vulnerability of the Lakers, and they're able to monetize that to a level that they would ordinarily not be able to monetize it to.
Yes.
Like, that's why I use the term the sub-A-level player. Again, Tobias Harris, terrific player. If you give him a max contract, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
Unless you're desperate.
Well, somebody's going to pay him because he's had a big impact on the 76ers.
I know. And maybe the Sixers will do it, you know. But
I would if I was the Sixers.
The whole Space Jam thing, like, I hear you, but Ewing had no problem playing secondary
but
to
it was
MJ.
Different.
I know, and they were boys.
It
I get
different.
It, but Ewing's a Hall of Famer.
But it was different, though,
LJ,
BT.
Barkley? Why?
Michael Jordan didn't pound his chest. He pounded his chest on the court. Right? In the arena, forget it. I'm the man.
Yep.
Right? Larry Bird was the same way.
Bird.
Right? I'm gonna dribble around you. I'm going to go through my legs. I'm going to take a step back. You're going to fake at it. I'm going to step right. I'm going to drill it in your mug. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do.
Right? Oh, Michael Jordan was that as well.
Yep.
But it wasn't like, it didn't leave the arena.
There was a humility to his
greatness.
Exactly. No, I know.
Exactly.
I know. I do totally agree with that. There isn't that
humility to LeBron. That's the best way to say it, BT. There's not a humility to LeBron's greatness. And I think guys understand it, and they don't necessarily want to be
a part of it.
They don't want to be in the shadow of it.
Obscured by it.
Exactly. They don't want to be obscured by it.
Yeah. Listen, when Kevin Durant used the word toxic. We're all like, remember that discussion
right.
A couple days here on the show?
Yeah, we wanted to dismiss it immediately. Like, he's just being jealous.
Toxic. Wow. You never associate that word with LeBron. He always plays hard. His basketball principles are great. He's a team-oriented, team-first guy. He makes the right play. Toxic? That's kind of what you would describe the Cleveland Browns for a decade before they seemingly got it right now. Or, you know, other teams that just languished in, you know, Nowheresville. The Knicks are toxic with Dolan before they're going to get it right this summer. We never thought that LeBron would be described as toxic.
No, no chance.
Until Kevin Durant said it, and then we actually maybe didn't take the word literally, but we applied it in a basketball sense and all that comes with it. And he's right.
Yeah. And it's
he's
not
right.
and it's not necessarily he's not saying that in a really like an ultra negative way, but it's toxic because it always becomes about LeBron. No matter what happens, it's LeBron. If you elevate yourself, well, LeBron made you better. And if you don't play well, then he doesn't work well with LeBron. It's always about LeBron, and that's just a hard place for ego-driven stars. And basketball has a plethora of them, ego-driven stars to live in. It's just really hard. And so I don't feel for LeBron because he's had so much success, but his way of doing things, which were so successful for the entirety of his career, just don't work anymore, BT.
Yeah, I have no problem if LeBron goes 41-41 next season and he scraps out an 8th seed and he loses in a little gentleman sweep to whomever in the Western Conference. All right, coming up next here, Teak, we've got a little football for you. Vince Wilfork and D'Angelo Williams going to stop by, hang out on set.
Tiki and Tierney live in downtown Nashville, Tennessee, hanging out the NFL Experience. The draft a couple of hours away. Will Murray go first? Will there be trades? We got you. Stick with us. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.